Open your Bibles this morning back to 2 Corinthians. Now, the Apostle Paul had written to the Corinthian church and had promised to come by them the second time, but had been delayed. And so certain false apostles had taken upon themselves to insinuate that since he hadn't kept his promise in returning when he said that perhaps everything he said was brought into question, including his gospel. And he corrects that here in these words. In verse 18 he says, "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and no." It was no maybe thing. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Sorry about that. "But as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay." It wasn't a maybe. Maybe it would be, maybe it would not be, but it was certainly true. "For the Son of God, Christ," or Jesus Christ, "who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and by Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God." Now that covers a wide area. All the promises of God in him. that is an ocean of promises. And every one of those promises is to each and every believer of all ages.
Yeah.
It's to all the church of God. There's no promise that is given to us that is not in Christ Jesus. And all of the promises are sure and conditioned on his finished work at Calvary.
Amen.
There's nothing that we have that is not brought to us by the blood of Christ shed for us at Calvary. Even the work of the Holy Spirit in conversion, in sanctification, and all of those things, or that work of the Spirit is purchased for us by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have nothing that we can say is our own by anything in us. God has never blessed us, done any good thing for us because of anything good that was ever done by us or foreseen as being done or believed or anything else by us, but it is all according to his own sovereign purpose and grace,
amen,
which was given us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's how he saves his people. Look at 2 Timothy. Second Timothy 1:9. I hope I never get over this verse, and I don't think I ever will. And we'll begin our reading in verse 8. "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who hath saved us. It's a job that's done. Who hath saved us? God the Father saved us by putting us in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, giving us an interest in the blood of Christ, and giving us a portion in that covenant of grace. That was fixed, finished, done, over with in the mind and purpose of God from everlasting, and based on the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his certain obedience unto death, which is our justifying righteousness. Who hath saved us and called us? He let us know about it. He converted us. He taught us the gospel and made us to believe on his Son, which is unto us a token and an evidence of our election of grace. We believe because God has saved us. We repent continually because God hath saved us. We repent even of what we are in ourselves because God hath saved us. Everything that we do, which is the motion of the Spirit within us, is because God hath saved us. Any good thing that comes from us, any good thing, whatever it is, whether it's a thought, whether it's a prayer, whether it's a word, whether it's action, whatever it is, the first motive of that is by the Holy Spirit. Because out from us, as we are men and women in the flesh, there's no good thing. Corrupt nature cannot produce a good work. Just can't do it. If anyone believes the gospel, it is the gift of God that they believe. That faith through which they believe is the gift of God. It's not of themselves. Faith is not something you can generate or muster or anything else. If you believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your only justifying righteousness, it is the work of God the Holy Spirit within you, based on the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary, where he purchased his people. Faith is no little thing. Faith is God's testimony to us that we belong to him. Have always belonged to him. Will never belong to anybody else. And that he will not lose us. He'll never forsake us. But he'll be with us forever, even unto the world. True saving faith. Well, what is the true saving faith? Well, it's looking to the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. Trusting ourselves for nothing. Knowing that if God has given us the testimony of the Spirit in our heart, if God the Spirit has taught us the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done, where he is now, we're his. We're his peculiar treasure. The only one of its sort. The only one of its kind. Above every other thing. My, my. God who hath saved us and called us with holy calling, not according to our works, as this Armenian world wants to believe. Well, I believed and the Lord saved me. No, the Lord saved whom he saves, and they believed because he saved them. They got the cart before the horse. not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. What God purposed in himself, according to his favor toward us, or his everlasting love of us, and our portion in the covenant of grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, if there's no strength of salvation to be found in us. If I look to myself for anything, for any part of salvation, whatever that part is cracked and flawed, will break and crumble. So our foundation is that foundation that God laid in Zion, the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
It's no new revelation to him, no new knowledge. He's always known them, has always loved them. Yea, as he said to Jeremiah, before I formed you in the belly. Who did that? How do you do it? By putting this man and this woman together, giving them conception, and they brought forth a child. God ordered everything around that. Some people get married don't even like one another, I think. Or they find it out after a while. But it had to be. Because they're going to produce a child that the Lord knew. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee and ordained thee and sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet to the nation. God has a purpose for every one of his members of his spiritual body. We're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, and we are in Christ Jesus, beloved and accepted by the Father. But as God is true, our word, our gospel toward you was not yea and nay, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, not a maybe thing, but in him was yea, for all the promises of God in Christ, in him are yea, and in him amen. Now all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, because he is the covenant. You know where we're going with that. Isaiah 42:6. Isaiah 42:6, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people. For a light of the Gentiles. Now, he called there the covenant of the people, because our names are graven in his hands.
Amen.
The government shall rest upon his, shall be upon his shoulder. Everything that God requires to bring his members to final glory is by the Lord Jesus Christ, his shed blood at Calvary.
Amen.
We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. We don't worship God in pictures and signs and statues and Hail Marys, and not even by anything of that sort, but we worship God according to the testimony that's given here in this scripture, which is put in our heart by the Holy Spirit. We worship God according in the Spirit.
Amen.
Which is according to the Word. We are the circumcision who rejoice, who, let me turn and read this, I about lost it. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He is the covenant. He is, all things are fulfilled in Him and are and hang on His shoulder. Let me get back to where I was here. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. Now, let's look at some of those promises. Look back at Psalm 89. Psalm 89. And first of all, let's go to verse 3 and 4. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Now the covenant there with his chosen, that is the covenant that God in the Trinity of his persons made with the Lord Jesus Christ. They agreed together. Thy seed will I establish forever, verse 4, and build up thy throne to all generations. Now, look at that. He said, I will establish. Thy seed will I establish forever. That's promise. Well, who is Christ's seed? Well, believers are the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, what has he promised to them? That they shall be established forever. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, such as the free willers present. That we have the ability and the inclination in ourselves to turn to God. We do not. We like Ephraim. Turn thou me. Jeremiah 31:18. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Yeah. If we're turned toward God, and away from the flesh and away from the world, if we are given an inclination to turn to God, it is of the Lord. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned. Mm-hmm. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established in grace. We'll be established. How will we be in grace? Yeah. By the grace of God. Yeah. By grace we stand. Amen. Not with meats, not worshiping in the flesh, with meats and drinks and pictures and signs and statues of angels and all such foolishness as that, and statues of Mary. Not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied with them. Who's that? People under the law, seeking to justify themselves by deeds of the law. Meats and drinks and divers washings and all like that. Thy seed will I establish forever in grace of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and build up thy throne to all generations. Now look down at verse 19. For thou speakest in vision to thine holy one and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. He shall bring forth judgment unto the Gentiles. That's Christ Jesus. Let me turn to Isaiah again and read that. And where he said in Isaiah 46, I will uphold thee, that's his laying help on one that's mighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he upheld him in all his undertakings, as the Lord Jesus prayed, glorify thou me, uphold me in all that I'm doing here at the cross. I was on my way to Isaiah there. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. Look on over at Isaiah 49:8. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth. The earth that he's talking about is his people. To establish the earth, and to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. All of our inheritance that we had as upright creatures of God in Adam, we forfeited in Adam. But Christ has brought back to us much more than we ever lost. They that hate me were more than the hairs of my head, and then I restored that which I took not away, the desolate heritages. All right, verse... Psalm 89:20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, and mine arm shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. Now that is God upholding him as man and mediator in his office, in establishing and bringing in the everlasting covenant of grace by his blood, by sealing that everlasting covenant by his blood. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name his horn shall be exalted. Let me move on down here. Now, this whole section through here, down through verse 37, is of this. But let me just read the last two verses here. His seed will endure forever. That's a promise. That's to us. That's believers. And his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established as the moon and as a faithful witness in the heaven. All of those promises... Look at verse 33. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. That is, if his children transgress his law, I'm not going to cut them off. I'll visit them with the rod, but my loving kindness I'll not take from them. That's a promise to us. Yeah. Do we fail? My goodness, how we do fail. We certainly fail all the time. But he has promised us that he'll not forsake us, but he'll correct us in measure. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For all the promises of God, of justification, of pardon, of eternal life, of sanctification, of forgiveness of sins, of final glory... Everything, all of those promises are in Christ Jesus, and they're yea, it certainly shall be, and amen. This covenant is no maybe deal. Right. It's done, it's finished.
Amen.
And has been from everlasting. And we are brought by God the Holy Ghost into the bond of the covenant. He lets us know about it. Teaches us. Now look at verse 21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. That kind of cuts out the Arminians, don't it? Wasn't your free will. Wasn't your holy desire that you developed. Wasn't your charming personality or your good looks. It was God according to his purpose.
Amen.
Let's read that again. Now he which establisheth us with you, that is the apostles, with believers of all ages in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were put there by the election of the Father from everlasting.
Amen.
And hath anointed us. Now that anointing with which God has anointed us is God the Holy Ghost. God has anointed us with God, the Holy Spirit. What about that? Look at 1 John. Chapter 2. And the world passeth away. I'm in verse 17. Well, let's just go back up and we'll begin our reading in verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. All that stuff's going to be burned up. It's all going to be burned up. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now the will of God is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the will of God. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Everyone who is against Christ, whether he's a Muslim or a Baptist, if he's against Christ, he's an Antichrist. Wherefore ye know that it is the last time. They went out from us. Who's that? The Antichrists. They went out from us, but they were not of us. They never were of us. They never had any part of the election of grace. They were not converted. They were not. They had their heart was not made new. They went out from us, for they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. There's divisions in the professing church. The Lord sorts the wheat and the chaff.
Yeah.
But ye haven't now. They went out of us, for they were not of us, because if they'd been of us, they'd no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, because they were not of us. But ye, that is true believers, have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One. That unction is the Holy Spirit, and the Holy One is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But ye have an unction or an anointing from the Holy One, from the Lord Jesus Christ. He purchased it for us by his blood. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things that pertain to life and godliness, that godliness that are essential to know, and that is, you know God, whom to know is life eternal. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar, that he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Now look down at verse 27. But as the same anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now, turn over to chapter 5, verse 1. And we know that the Son of God is come in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word was made flesh. And hath given us an understanding by that anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. Faith is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
You got to have an apple tree before you can have an apple. The Holy Spirit's got to be present with you and in you, and he's in us now, before his fruit, before you can have faith. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. Now, knowing him is eternal life, and you all know that. And that ye are in him that is true by the election of the Father, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. back to 2 Corinthians 1:21. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. God in his three persons.
Amen.
He established, he's brought us to Christ. Like the angels brought Lot out of Sodom, he had to take him by the arms and drag him out of there. And the Lord brings his many sons to glory. We're brought. We don't stroll along of our own free will. We're brought by an almighty power that effectually works in us. Verse 22. Who hath sealed us? Now that is God that has sealed us. Now, a seal indicates a property. It indicates property in something, that whatever I seal, that belongs to me. God has sealed us. It indicates property. It indicates authority over the thing that's sealed. If a king stamps a letter and puts his seal on it, don't you open it unless he gives you authority. Who hath sealed us, that is the election of grace, and hath given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now, earnest, well, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, 14. Ephesians 1, 13, 14. But now is Christ Jesus, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Well, now why did you trust? well, it's because of the work of the Spirit in you that you trusted. In whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth. And how is it that ye heard the word of truth? Well, the Lord ran you into a preacher that was carrying the truth. He put that word in his mouth. the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
God set his seal on us. These are my folks. Don't bother them. Except by my authority. And the seal that is given us is the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And not only is he a seal, but he's the earnest. Yeah. Verse 14. Which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now the purchased possession is ourselves, soul, body, and strength. Soul, body, and spirit. We are the purchase of our Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us. You're bought with price. back to 2 Corinthians 22. Who hath sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our heart? Now the earnest of anything, well, the earnest of our inheritance, as back in the Ephesians there, the earnest of an inheritance is a little portion of the inheritance that's given us to enjoy and move us along through this world until the redemption of the purchased possession. So it is the Holy Spirit given us in measure. It's heaven begun. It certainly is. It's our inheritance of grace to be our comforter, our paraclete, one called alongside to help us through this world.
Yeah.
Now think of what it's going to be when we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and indwelt by all the fullness that is communicable, or that is the purpose of God to give us, of the Holy Spirit in time to come. Look at Ephesians 3:19. And I think that's where this scripture applies. And that ye may know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. That ye may be filled with all the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That we are partaker of that inheritance now as an earnest. We have a little filling. But then he will be given us in the fullness that he is to be given, or that is we are capable of receiving in a glorified body at the resurrection of the just. Now imagine if you can, and I doubt you can, because I can't. Maybe you can. Living without sin. No distracting thoughts. Nothing to worry you, drag you down. Nothing to take your mind away from the worship of God in Christ Jesus and his glory. Imagine, if you can, being in your own person as gracious as the Lord Jesus Christ is. And being capable of loving as he does. Well, that's what's waiting for us. We've got to pass through the curtain. but it's coming.